Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
All right.
We're live.
Hey, 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 hey. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Scotty, I'm going to let you take this, buddy.
What am I doing?
I want you to take the intro.
The intro. We just did the intro. I'll do the post.
There you go.
So today we're joined live with the world famous DJ Logic.
Yes,
DJ
yes.
Logic.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is Joey Shimataro from Good Morning Gloucester Logic.
Yes.
We've met a few times in the past, which is why it was a perfect thing to let's get our first ever DJ. On the podcast, a world-renowned traveling DJ.
Oh, so happy to have me. Thank you.
So why don't you tell somebody, everybody that's watching right now, a little bit about yourself, where you come from, your background, and then I got a few questions for you.
I go by DJ Logic, as everyone knows. Born and raised in New York City, the Bronx. And a world-renowned DJ, played with so many great artists, musicians, and I've toured so many different places all over the country, all over the world, and feel very blessed to be doing what I do and, mixing, hip-hop with jazz and hip-hop with jam band, with rock, and, just bringing the cultures all together, all genres. And just enjoying the music, what I love doing and my passion.
So some might say that you might be largely responsible for infusing jazz into hip hop and that culture. Is that correct or insane?
You could say that because there was really no one doing what I was doing. And I just kind of just stayed with it and I believed in what I was doing and I was having fun. What I was doing, it just came together just perfectly for me. And I just feel very blessed to, take it this far.
Logic, you just so people can get an idea of the magnitude of some of the artists that you've worked with. You work with the Roots, right?
Yeah, I work with some of the guys from the Roots, Questlove, wow. Tariq. The whole band, great friends and musicians. Yep.
Now the Roots is just one of a long line of people that I know that you've worked with in the past, but the viewers today don't know. And I know you're very modest, but why don't you give me just a few examples of diverse artists that you work with, not just in like a hip hop or live band, that type of feel,
I work with John Popper, Blues Traveler.
My man.
Yeah, I worked with Vernon Reed from Living Color.
Wow.
Marcus Miller, great bass player. Medeski Martin and Wood.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Stuff with Bob Ware from the Grateful Dead.
Very diverse, man. Very diverse.
Very diverse. A lot of the jazz greats. A lot of the jam band greats. Who else? The list goes on, a lot of stuff,
Keep the list going too, man. Keep the list going.
What was your big break? Like, what was the thing that kicked it off for you?
Me just enjoying music, as a kid, my parents would play all types of music around the house, from jazz to funk, to hip hop, growing up in the Bronx. you know, I had all these, all the different cultures around me. So that's one thing I absorbed. Every culture, you know, I was listening to everybody's music, you know. It didn't have no boundaries for me, you know. I just wanted to absorb it all. Hold on, let me set this car go by. Okay. All right. you know, I didn't have no boundaries. I just wanted to, you know, explore the music, understand the music, know where it came from, you know, and, you know, just kind of basically dissect it and put it back together again, you know, and then start blending and experiment with different sounds and things like that. So, you know, mixing the jazz with the hip hop and the hip hop with the jazz, and then adding certain things, you know, with the jam band, you know, like with Modesky Martin the Wood, doing stuff with the guys from Mo, you know, some of the guys from Fish as well, you know. And then, then I started doing some remixes for Sony, and I worked on, you know, Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, and The Report. Who else? You know, just the, like I said, the list goes on. Then I, you know, fortunate to work with John Mayer. You know, and tour with John.
Wow. All A-listers. You just naming off A-lister after A-lister after A-lister.
Yeah, John Mayer.
Damn.
And Maroon 5. We had a that was the experience to go out with those guys and tour.
Is there somebody that where's your hit list? Where's your wish list that you haven't worked with that you like your dream gig? Who's that with?
Where my dream gig? Man,
like who? Because I know they're watching right now. So
yeah, well, you know, some of the artists I like to play, they passed away. But you know, some of the artists now, you know, I like a Post Malone. I like who else? I like Santana,
Carlos. Yeah. Oh, that would be a great infusion there. Yeah. Santana, now Russ Lawton, who plays around in Gloucester often, you know, being a North Shore guy, was actually drumming on some of Santana's projects.
Yeah.
He is the drummer for the Trey Anastasio band, I'm pretty sure you're well aware.
Yeah.
Working with Fish before, that collab actually might be doable for you.
Yeah.
And Santana's known for doing a lot of collaborations too.
He is. Yes, he is. It's a great collaboration. You know, and I think that he did like a great hip hop one, hip hop Latin one, and then that became a hit. You know, always reinventing himself. You know, that's the great thing about him. You know, and that's the thing I like to do. You know, to keep reinventing myself, and you know, doing things and just coming up with things that I think, you know, that's very cool. You know, and that people will enjoy.
Were you trained in school, or like where, like what gave you the confidence to be able to use these type of instruments, like, you know, to be able to engineer what you've been, you know, at a young age to take the next level? Like in the beginning, like were you classically trained? Did your parents send you someplace to learn how to do this, or how did it all come about?
Just wanted to let that motorcycle go by. Well, yeah, in a way, I think I was trained, you know, just by being a baby. You know, like I said, my parents was playing music around the house, having me absorb the music that they were playing, which was good music, you know, and that just opened my ears up to want to explore even more, you know. And you know, then I had just the right group of people around me, you know, musician wise, you know, playing with the downtown scene, you know, jazz guys, and playing at CBGB's, playing at Tramps, playing at Wetlands.
Epic place, epic in history.
I was around a lot of diverse musicians, you know, and, you know, they just kind of took me under their wing, and, you know, I was just one of that little pestering kid that was just always asking questions.
You're on the come up.
And always nosy, trying to figure out how things work, how the bass plays, how the drums play, who plays what, you know, how everybody stays in sync. You know, I just wanted to figure everything out, how all the parts work, you know? And, you know, just by asking questions and stuff like that, being around some of the people that you, you know, you admire, and you go, those people are teachers, you know, they're teachers. Mm-hmm. They're some of your influence, you know, so, and they're good people too. So they see, when they see that, then, you know, they just keep, you know, they help you out and follow you through. And I appreciate, you know, I appreciate all of that, you know, through the years, you know, people saw something in me and, you know, saw me the love that I, and the passion that I have for music. And, you know, and I just kept on with it, you know.
Now, Logic, when I first learned of you, was back in the day, your name just kept coming up, you know. And when I found out that you were playing in my hometown here in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I love Gloucester.
I had to call down and say, can I get on the guest list? And they said, there is no guest list tonight.
Right.
But I said, no, this is Scotty, of course, come on down. And when I walked in, I want you to I'll paint the picture. You know what? I walked into this room at Latitude 43, which is now Minglewood Harborside.
Right.
I would have never thought this. You were playing in the middle of a sushi pit.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
Oh, well, that experience was an awesome experience. And I never played in a sushi pit before. But, you know, I think every DJ should have an opportunity to play the sushi pit.
Have you played one since?
No, I haven't played one since. But just the layout of the place and how they and where they positioned me at, it was cool. You know, it was great. I had so much fun, and everyone else had so much fun, and it looked real cool after looking at the photography and the pictures from that. You know, I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, so it was something I definitely would have loved to have done again.
So now I tell you, or I'll ask you, you've been to Gloucester multiple times now since that trip. And I've actually had the pleasure of having you out personally on my boat.
Yeah.
On the Annisquam River with another gentleman in two.
Yes.
I want to give a big shout out to Josh Hayes and to John Popper right now. Thanks for joining us on that.
Josh, big shout out to John Popper. Yeah, we all, and big shout out to the Tuna guys too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's family, man. I enjoyed just coming out to Glasgow. Everybody out there so, you know, warm, and you know, it's much love. And I love eating. You know, I love seafood. So you know, anytime I get out to Glasgow, anytime I hear the name Glasgow, I'm jumping up and going. You know.
I got to tell you something. The charity thing that what you're referring to is those tuna guys. Yeah. That was at the mile marker deck. Yeah. At the Cape Ann Marina, and we had a friend that had come down with stage 4 cancer, wasn't doing well, didn't have long left with us, and sadly he had passed. But I remember that day specifically with the tuna guys, because he loved that tuna series, every episode of Wicked Tuna. And then here comes DJ Logic and John Popper and said, hey, listen, we got a guy over here. We're doing this thing. Would you make a stop by? They didn't hesitate. So thank you for that. Wow, I mean, it made that guy's afternoon. It made my afternoon.
Yeah, it touched us, and I'm happy we were there, you know, show love and you know, condolences and everything, you know, just being a part, you know.
Joe, you have another question? Because I got one last one.
Yeah, no, I was wondering, where in New York are you right now? Can you, like, scan the phone around and we can see where you're at?
You see that famous building right there? That's the MetLife building. I'm right in the center of Park Avenue.
Oh, wow.
the center of the city. But, you know, I'm in a nice location, socially distanced, in the middle of Park Avenue. I got my mask on, you know, so, you know, just kind of running and doing some errands right now, you know, and getting ready for the new year.
So you told me
one more question for you.
Go ahead.
What music, what decade had the best music that you, if you had to pick one decade that you, to sample music or to work with the artist of any decade, what decade would that be?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I can't narrow that on one. I mean, you know, it was a good few different decades that had some good stuff that I, you know, some decades I wasn't even born in, which I wish I could have experienced some of the early decades.
I got to go with that.
You know, but, you know, I have to say, I'll say I like late 80s and also like 90s. It's 90s. You know?
I thought for sure you were going to go with like Elephant Holiday.
I'm going to put it in the, you know, like the end of 80s, 90, you know, into the 90s. The 90s was hot and the 80s had some good stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think everybody was dancing all the way through from the 80s into the 90s, you know?
So I want to thank you first and foremost for agreeing to do this, a kind of a spur of the moment, Jason. Logic.
You're
my boy, and I appreciate it. So before I go, I just want to say, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you again on a personal level and on a musical level, more so on a musical level because it's been a while since I've seen you play.
Oh, thank you. It's good. But
I also want to ask you, you said you might have something coming up tomorrow night. How can people find out about that? And is it private or is it something that you're going to be streaming? Or?
The thing I'm going to be doing is a Zoom party. And it's actually for the Native Americans out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And, you know, I've been doing stuff with them for quite a while. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. And it'll be on a Zoom thing. I'll have it posted up on my site. And, I'm just looking forward to that, you know.
What's your site so I can put it in the show, the link to it?
Well, my website is djlogic.com. And my Instagram and everything is all linked on there. But, you know, on Instagram is the DJ Logic. You'll see the verified check. And same thing with Facebook, the DJ Logic or DJ Logic, either one, you'll see the verified. That's how you can stay in touch with me and see what I'm doing. And, you know, you'll see me coming back to Gloucester or Boston area.
Yeah, Boston, man. We're going to see your boy Kimball Walker.
Yeah, man. And, I'll go see my boy Kimball Walker, you know. That's one of my classmates, you know. And, I mean, well, not my classmates, but alumni, you know. So, you know, I'm happy to see him doing his thing. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud. So I look forward to doing that trip with y'all both.
All right. So, Logic, we appreciate you coming and doing this again, man. Thank you. Get about your errands. Have a fun, safe show tomorrow night, and Happy New Year, man.
Stay safe.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Take care.
What a great guest.
Oh, man, that was great.
Thanks for getting him on. What a gentleman. What a just a sweet guy, huh?
That was one of the factors, because I know he'd like to talk, so...
He was great. Just a positive. You could tell. You know, you could tell someone's energy, like, right off the bat. Like, he's just a good soul. You could tell he's a good soul. And that's probably why, you know, so many people want to work with him, because he's got that positive, you know, energy, you know, that whole vibe.
I mean, click on the website. Check out his bio. See who he's worked with that he didn't talk about. Upcoming projects. Listen to some samples of his music. And, you know, just get familiar with it. DJ Logic, next time he's in town, we'll bring him back on and we'll promote the show that he's going to play here in town.
Bam. Hell yeah. Hell to the yeah. I just got to make sure.
Yep. What else you got, Joey?
What's that, bud?
What else we got today?
I just wanted to make sure everything's going good. Okay, everything's going good. I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Sunday podcast, that was a great podcast. I felt really good about that.
Lots of great topics.
And
I think behind the scenes, a lot of people don't know, but we do have a text message thread where we randomly poke in about things that come in random to ourselves. And then we choose from that list of what's going to be on the next podcast. So you really never know what you're going to get when it comes onto a Sunday cast. We know, but you don't. And actually, we know sometimes right up until the last moments.
It's true. And you know what it's like for me trying to compile all those show notes. Actually, Pat Dalpiaz does a good job helping me. She's taken a lot of the burden off.
You can take a Punta Cana suntan, amplify that, and that's what Joey looks before the show.
Oh my God! So yesterday I got a haircut, right? I feel like I was all bushy before, and I got a haircut. But I had anxiety sitting in the chair. I had major anxiety, and the reason why, about half, I go to the Dominican guy, and he's great, and so I'm sitting there halfway through, and I have my mask on. You know, you got the cape around you, and then you have the mask, you know, and I'm sitting there like this. It's halfway through, and these Dominican guys, they take it serious. It's like a half hour haircut. It's not like just buzzing you. You're in and out in 10 minutes. They're snipping every little, they're doing next level work.
You're like a bonsai tree.
They're like a bonsai tree. Yeah. Like they're going around, you know, the whole thing. But anyway, 10 minutes in, and I knew it was going to be like a 25 minute, 30 minute haircut. 10 minutes in, my nose starts running.
Oh boy.
And I'm sitting there like this, and my hands are underneath, right? And the mask is on me, and it's starting to come down. It's slowly coming down, and I'm starting to freak out, right? And I'm like, the anxiety is building up. But, like, I'm in a position where with the COVID, you don't want to, like, lift up your mask. You don't want to, like, wipe a big booger. So I'm just living with this slow, like, salty booger coming down and hitting the top of my lip.
So you look like Turner and Hooch.
It was horrible. The anxiety and that, like, and every second felt like an hour. It was brutal, Scotty. I'm telling you, it's like COVID sucks, man.
I got to tell you, I'm on here right now and I'm battling it myself just because we're live, and that's without a mask in the privacy of my own home. But I mean, to all the viewers out there, I could totally envision what you went through. At the bar shop.
Oh man! So what do you got? What are your plans, Scotty, for the winter? Are you gonna hunker down? Are you gonna try to be active? What are your plans?
As far as taking, I enjoy long walks on the beach, in New England in the winter, barefoot. No, I'm going to try to get outside and do some walking because I've been landscaping all season. I can already tell that the winter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving meal pounds are starting to slowly creep back, and I don't want that to happen. So myself personally, I'm going to try to stay active that way. As far as getting out and not hunkering down, it's going to be tough because – we really don't know where things are going at this point. I mean, we have a new president coming in, and not to get political because I won't do that, but you don't know what the changing in the guard is going to hold for us. Especially when our very own, Massachusetts governor keeps rolling back and giving us a new plan. So there's a new order coming. We just don't know what yet. That's going to kind of dictate what each and every one of us are going to have to do. So, for the most part, for the guidelines. So with that being said, I wanted to travel. I wanted to get out. I need to get some sun. I do it every year at this time, and I'm super bummed out and kind of sliding into an after Christmas funk about it. So it's well long overdue for myself, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers out there too.
You know, it's the timing on the whole, cutting it back to 25% in the restaurants and New Year's Eve, I've been looking at websites trying to figure out what we're going to do on New Year's Eve, just because I don't want it to, like, I don't want to come home from work and just sit there and, like, have no plan, you know? So I'm like, yeah. I asked on the blog today, like, what are people doing? And one really good local suggestion was the Pizzeni girl from Cape Ann Lanes. Said that they're having a deal, $99, you get a lane, up to six people, a pizza and a bottle of Prosecco for an hour and a half, including the shoe rentals, I'm not sure if they're doing it. I think every other lane.
Here's the question, Joe, on New Year's Eve, Do you put all 6 names in a hat for that bottle of Prosecco, or are you a sharer? Do you share, or do you put names in the hat for the bottle?
No, you drink it there, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm just – who gets the bigger portion? Who, you know what I mean?
I know. One bottle of Prosecco, 6 people. Well, if you're with the kids, it's not going to be too
deal.
Hard.
Great deal.
Can you bring – yeah, they have booze there too. Have you had the pizza there?
I have had the pizza there. It's actually quite delicious.
Yeah, that might be the call. That might be the call.
Multiple.
I have my daughters, and I don't want to have them, and it just be super lame of us just sitting around. So I want to hear my list. Sure. I put a list together.
Sure.
Want to hear my list? I'm gonna read it to you because I put a list together here. Okay. Oh, where is it? I think I emailed it to myself, so I'm gonna have to. Okay, I'm gonna find it right here. New Year's Eve ideas. Okay, ready? Here's my list. I'm gonna go down it.
Is this in order of top priority to lowest, or is this just
No. It's just as I was reading, I was just taking notes of fun things that I thought would be fun.
Okay.
So scratch ticket gambling, like get like 100 scratch tickets, $1 ones or maybe less than that and higher denominations. But left, right, center tournament. Like among the family with scratch playing with scratch tickets.
A great idea.
That would take up like an hour maybe. An ice cream bar set up like all little candy and like ice cream so that we can make ice creams. They have these printable New Year's Eve time capsule printouts.
Huh.
It has all these questions on it like. You know, what was the best thing that happened in 2020? What was the worst thing? What are you looking forward to? What is your New Year's resolution? And there's like 10 or 15 questions. So I want to print them out, have everybody fill them out and just stick them up in the attic somewhere and just say 2021 time capsule.
That was my next question on the time capsule. Do you actually bury that someplace or do you actually stuff it away in the house?
I think it would be cool to put it up in the attic, like and like hang it on a hook on a rafter, so it wouldn't be like buried in a box that someone might throw away.
I don't think that burying it is a smart idea anymore. I'll give you my reasoning on that. What if you sell your home and then 30 years later you go back and start digging up the new owner's lawn, and excuse me, I get my time capsule here. If you don't mind, I'd like to. Go through that $100,000 sprinkler system you put in. and it also it brought me back to grade school where we actually had a time capsule project, and we actually did bury those at the Fuller School field, which is now no longer, and it's a housing development now. So so we lost all of those memories we were supposed to dig up maybe this time of our life. Whatever happened to those? They're in some landfill someplace that, something that was important to you in third, fourth grade, like your best sticker collection or Mad Libs thing or whatever. But, I'm against burying time capsules.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I think like up in the attic, though, like on a hook, like in a folder, like hanging from a hook and labeled 2020 time capsule.
That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah, I like that one too. Carl Buck. Hi, good morning. Good morning. My sister Felicia's, I don't know how he says his morning. Maybe this is one of my friends from Australia. But there's that. Hold on one second. I'll go back to the list here. Where was my list?
And viewers, if you're out there, feel free to chime in and ask us any questions too. We'll be happy to answer those for you.
Oh, Byron. No way. That can't be Byron. That can't be my buddy Byron. Byron was a Honduran guy that used to work for us. And the guy was such a great kid. And if it is Byron that I'm thinking of, he ended up getting going in and being a captain of a merchant marine ship and done really well for himself. Big, beautiful family. Yeah.
Love I don't know if it's name Byron.
I can't tell. I think it is Byron. It is. I hope you're doing well. I hope your family's doing well, Byron.
That's awesome.
He was just a good kid. Good kid. Now he's a man. I mean, he was a kid. Now, Byron, how old are you now? He'll write in now. That's wild. Oh, that's wild. Memories. That was probably 25 years ago. I don't know.
Wow. A long time ago.
Yeah. All those Honduran guys are just great guys. Great guys. He's 37. And how old were you when you started working for us? I'm going to say he was 18 or 19 when he started working for us. He was a kid. That's crazy. Oh, man.
Hey, Byron, hope you're doing well, brother.
Byron's done really well for himself. I think he's a big hunter now. He moved to New Orleans.
No piping plovers have been hurt in the making of this podcast.
He was 18 when he started working for us, and he's 37 right now. That's wild. Oh, my goodness. But there's that. I don't know, Scotty, do you have a plan for New Year's Eve?
I have some loose plans. I mean, everything, you know, when you start getting together and talking about it, whether it's on Zoom or otherwise, or if you're at a small gathering or dinner or whatever, within guidelines, of course, all these ideas, everyone has their own ideas, and they throw them out, and everybody's super excited about their idea. But some people are more adamant, and other people are more loose with their plans. And that just goes with human nature in any group.
Where do you fall? Are you married to your plans all the time, or are you pretty much a flow with the go with the flow guy?
I'm a go with the flow guy. I also like to have a plan sometimes, because it'll turn into a total shit show if not. You know, I mean, I like to go with the flow, but I also like to have a sense, some sort of a sense of what the night
is. Semblance.
Yeah, bullet points. What's going on? Like, we're going to do dinner, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. And that's fine. And if plans change, then you're not disappointed, because you go, oh, okay, there's a list of things here that we're going to do. We only got to three of them. Sort of like the Good Morning Gloucester bullet point show, for the Sunday morning.
Show notes.
Show notes.
Yep.
But I had an option to go to Portsmouth. Someone had suggested Miami for the weekend because of the amount, depending on what if your flights and stuff are on points, if you could get, you start doing the math and what's feasible and what's not, and where it could, and what's open and what's not. But I heard a report this morning that that Key West was going to actually shut down at 9 o'clock itself. So if anybody planned on going to Key West or is down there, and that's true, let the viewers know if you have any confirmation on that, or look it up. But they were thinking about shutting down at 9 o'clock to limit social distancing for the new year. So that there was a huge congregation, and I'm not sure if that's happening in most spots or not. Excuse me.
Wow. Do you know if the Nest is open?
I do not know if the Nest is open, but that's that's probably either a website question, or you could give a phone call and find that information out.
We got a comment here from Jackie P. Vieira. Hold on one second here. Lived and worked there for years. Been a long time since been back. Do you still do the Greasy Pole, Parade of Lights, Blessing of the Fleet? Was there for many movies being filmed. Wonderful, beautiful town. Beaches, people, restaurants, scenery. Have to say the happiest days of my life. Give anything to live there again. That was a nice comment. I'm tired of making the plan. I'm going with the flow this New Year's Eve. Maybe we will just stay in Brooklyn. If I was her, I would probably stay in Brooklyn. I don't know if the places are closed, why would you, like, I don't know.
To answer the question happy that you've had some of the best times of your life and great memories here for Gloucester and all of those, you know, situations that you interjected yourself into or become a part of. Unfortunately for the shutdown this year for COVID, that did not happen, but we plan going back full force. I mean, the whole city plans on moving forward as well as any of the visitors coming, due to what's to come, hopefully.
Mm.
But it was definitely an adjustment year. It was terrible.
It is an adjustment. Yeah, because last year it didn't shut down until right after St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, we lost Tom Brady and St. Patrick's Day in the same night.
Oh, that was horrific. That was a bad day.
Bad day.
It's going to be a long winter, Scotty. I'm telling you, we got to figure something out here.
Speaking of Tom Brady and the Patriots, let's talk about Belichick last night for a moment. What happened? You didn't see the news today with the frustrations on the field, which he doesn't really show all that often.
I saw him slam a phone on Twitter. I went to bed after I think 9:30. I went to bed, so I didn't watch like much into the second half.
I didn't watch any of the game, and not because of any. I got wrapped up in a Netflix show and kind of forgot that it was on. The post game they were showing clips on the news of Belichick, and he was still the same monotone, you know, Bill that we've all come to know over the years. But he also praised Buffalo for being, you know, a great football team, and I thought that's a class act. I mean, he's only dealing with the pawns of the game that he's dealt and the struggles that they're dealing with. So I don't think that Luke, you know, he's used to having Brady around, but he was a great coach before that too. So
yeah, no, I agree. I feel bad for the whole team. They've handled it pretty well this year, like, you know, losing, and you haven't seen too many meltdowns. The team seems like they've stuck together. You haven't seen a lot of chirping. You know, because usually when these teams go south, like, you know, they start blaming the coaches and this, that, and the other thing. The team is pretty much stuck together, it seems like.
Well, the news was reporting too. They're like, oh, and then they benched him, and they put in Stidham, and they said he didn't do much better either. So, but you're also going up against the Buffalo Bills, who are not getting much playing time all season. And then trying to ridicule a backup quarterback for not doing as well as your number one guy, so you know there's definitely some inner team struggles there for sure.
Buffalo Bills are probably the one within the top six teams in the league right now.
So I'm going to quote Joey Shimataro's saying right here: I would be remiss if I did not mention Peter Fronteiro right now. And the Bills. He's going to be having a hell of a time celebrating the Bills as well as they're doing this season. So, Peter, if you're watching, if not, somebody tell him that we give you a little shout out there.
Peter Fortier's a big Bills fan?
Oh, huge. The biggest.
Really?
That has been for years.
I had no idea.
Travels to the games and everything.
Wow. I don't know if I'd and spend my vacation dollars traveling to Buffalo, New York.
We'll have to have him on and see why.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have him on.
If the Bills go to the Super Bowl, we have to bring Peter Fitero on.
Are you talking about Peter Black?
Yes.
Yeah, no question. He's welcome anytime. By the way, I gotta give a shout out to the Causeway Restaurant. One of my lobster, Peter Mondello, went there for the chowder.
Love Peter.
Day before yesterday. Said he got two huge things of chowder. It was like $10.50 or something. And filled them up.
There's never a lack of excellence at the Causeway.
You know, I totally know that. And I, for some reason, because I live all the way over here in East Gloucester, I just never get there for some reason. Or if I just have visions in my head that I can't get in there because it's going to be too packed. But that's a misnomer now, because most of what they're doing is all takeout. So there's no reason not to go there. Oh, here's the other thing I was thinking of, right? So we got two big containers of chowder, fish chowder, right? And he says it was packed with haddock. And I was thinking to myself, if I went and I bought the ingredients to make haddock chowder, it would probably cost, for that amount, it would probably cost me $25. And you could go directly there, have it made by someone that's an excellent cook for less than half of that. So what's the move?
No brainer. You go to the Causeway, hands down.
The Causeway. Oh, man, yeah.
I believe it comes with bread and butter too, Joe. Like, don't quote me.
That good salty butter like Passports has, that, like, the one that you smell, oh, so good.
Speaking of Passports, I mean, how many popovers do you think they're up to at this point?
he could probably tell you, because his computer system, he can tell you every year how many haddock dinners he sold. He can tell you all his famous, you know, whatever, what of each item he sold. So I bet you he could tell you how many popovers that place has pumped out.
Love Eric. Eric's great people down there. The restaurant's done well for so many years, and then Machaca as well. So shout out to Luis and to Eric at Pachaca.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm back on my bread making kick. Did you see that?
I saw your bread making kit. I think your wife was the champion on that one, though, for the suggestion.
She did the egg wash.
Yes.
So what I would say about bread making is this. There's only four ingredients, and most of these ingredients, if like you don't have one of them, it's pretty easy to source. I think people might be intimidated by the thought of trying to make bread. It's super easy. It takes a little bit of time just for the waiting time for it to proof and stuff, but it's super easy. But like a hot loaf of bread coming out of the oven, slathering butter on it and toppings and stuff is incredibly rewarding. So if you haven't done it, Scotty, I'm telling you, you ought to try this. You ought to try it's not hard.
What would you recommend for like, all right, for the person that's never made bread before? Well, I've made bread when I was probably 10 years old, 8 years old, when my mother's teaching me how to bake. And now she's passed that on to my great nephew. She's still teaching him how to bake and how to cook, and she loves it. So what would you say for right now for a beginner would be a good bread to start with?
No need bread. I'm posting the recipe that I use from YouTube. I'm posting it on the blog tonight. So I have a terrible, terrible memory, but I got it down now. So I can tell you basically the ingredient part. 3 cups of baking flour, 1.5 tablespoons, not a tablespoon.
Writing this down.
A teaspoon and a half of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of yeast, and 12 ounces of cold water. But you don't have to write it down. You look up that thing. But you put the flour in the bowl. You put the yeast and the salt in. You whisk it together so it's evenly distributed. Then you add the 12 ounces of cool water and you kind of mix it with a spatula. You kind of turn it around and you incorporate the water with the flour mixture until it becomes like a sticky ball. And then you just cover it. And you could cut and you cover that and leave it off to the side in the kitchen for 8 to 12 hours.
At room temperature.
12 hours, you, what did I say? I said baking flour. I meant bread flour. Felicia corrected me. Thank you. All right. I'll put that in there. And then the next day, whatever, 8 to 12 hours later, you take it out, you put flour on the countertop, you take out the dough ball, you kind of flatten it out a little bit and you fold it over onto itself like 4 times. And then you just kind of like go like this and it forms a ball. You stick it in then you get a glass bowl, spray some Pam in it, you know, the olive oil spray, and put the dough ball.
Be any bowl, yeah. And then this process, you switch over to a glass bowl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you put that. So this is the second rise. So for the second. So once you do that, and you fold it onto itself 4 or 5 times and form the second ball, then you put it in the bowl and you cover it again. And then after an hour, you start your oven with a Dutch oven inside of it. You know what a Dutch oven is? It's a vessel like with that has a top on it, like a heavy clay pot.
Like that.
So you bring that up to 450 degrees for 35 minutes. And then you take the bread that's been sitting for an hour and a half in it. You bake it for 30 minutes. You take the top off. You bake it for another 8 minutes and it's done.
There's nothing like fresh hot bread.
So there was a lot of explaining that you could just look at the video. It's on YouTube, and it's very.
Since you're doing it off the top of your head and explaining the process, it's got to be that simple. So it shouldn't be something that I should shy away from.
No, that's the point. That's the point. Like I'm a guy, and like I don't bake because I feel like I'm not great at baking. But I can bake now. I can bake bread. And anyway.
All the viewers are probably wondering right now: do you wear an apron?
No apron.
No apron.
So today, I broke out I broke out. So I made my second loaf. I gave Felicia's family the loaf last night. Cause she made an incredible, pasta carbonara she made last night. Ooh. With the big pieces of pancetta. It was really good. And we had the bread with it. But Kate was like, "Where's my, you made the bread and I didn't get any bread." I'm like, "I'll make you one for tomorrow morning." So I made one this morning, and I used James and Anna Eves. They have Cape Ann Sea Salt Company.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They make this dipping blend. It's like oregano and a little black pepper and salt and all these, it's the perfect mixture. You put the olive oil in the little jar, the little bowl, and then you put the dipping mixture in it and the hot bread, scooping it out. Lights out. Kate said it was the best bread I made this morning. So.
Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I lost you on the screen.
Really? It's showing that I'm there. I think I'm there. Scotty's gone. Oh, he's going to come back. I think Scotty just had a problem there. Byron, thanks for joining us, Byron. He says, "Let's see a video next time you make the bread with step-by-step recipe breakdown." All right, Byron, you got it. My sister. Okay, so here's another piece of news. Felicia and I are going to do, because the COVID is coming, right? Whatever, the shutdown is coming. That's true, Brenda. Homemade bread does make me eat like an asshole. That is 100% true. But Felicia and I are going to do a live cooking live stream where it's going to be like, we're going to tell people ahead of time what ingredients to get. And like a day or two ahead of time, everybody's going to get the ingredients and we're going to live stream a cooking class with Felicia and me. So, like, the, you know, during the prep time, like, I'll be talking and Felicia be talking and you can ask questions of her and stuff like that. And then, so you could just keep your, like, iPad or your laptop right next to the stove and you can cook along with us. And I'll do a small recipe and she'll do a bigger recipe. Pam Tuffley says, "Homemade bread, great for French toast." Ooh. That's true, I guess. Yeah. No, this bread, the bread that I've learned how to make is so easy. It's, especially you have to do it two or three times. It takes all the, like, worry out of it. Like, oh, I can do this. But Byron, thank you for joining us, Byron. And Eric from Passports is still open and he's doing great. I know you asked that question. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun with that. Because we're going to be bored to tears. So I figure we got to do something to pass the time. And I think it'll be fun. I got to ask her what recipe she wants to do. But I want the recipe to be like start to finish, like an hour. Oh, there's Scotty. Scotty's back. I'll bring him back. Hey, buddy. You're back.
Hey, what's up?
You all right?
The lights go out in the city.
Did you have to poop?
I wish it was that simple. Somehow the power cord got knocked out of my laptop here, and it kind of that was it, lights out. So I do apologize.
I'm gonna make you full screen because I gotta get a beer.
All right, so we'll have a virtual toast. So just to do a little recap of today's show, we had DJ Logic on from New York, right by Park Plaza. And he gave us a little insight as to the music industry as he was a come up in jazz and with his parents' music collection, how most everybody gets acclimated to music. And then, went into a little bit of his bio and who he's worked with, which was quite extensive and impressive. And from there, we followed up with where he was going to be which was really exciting to hear. He's doing a powwow for a Native American reservation in New Mexico in Albuquerque. So one more big shout out to Logic there for joining us today, which was impromptu and very well received.
A-list guest. Felicia wants to know what recipes people would like her to do. And we'll take suggestions, but if they're dumb, We're gonna ignore the suggestion. I want something that will be easy to film and will take like an hour to do start to finish. So I don't know if we should ask people because they may give us
What is the question that you want to ask, Joe? And then we'll figure out if we really want to ask it.
No. So, you were gone, but Felicia's gonna. We're gonna do a live cooking with Felicia.
Oh.
So I'm gonna have the camera live streaming, her cooking.
Oh wow, that's gonna be.
And
amazing.
People will. We're gonna tell people a couple of days ahead of time the ingredients list, so they can go get it.
Gotcha.
Right? So how cool is that? So they'll be cooking. They can type in questions if they have questions about something, and we can answer. I'll have the camera. I'll be monitoring the questions.
I have a great idea, a suggestion for you and for everybody out there.
Go ahead.
Why don't they pick up Sister Felicia's cookbook, choose a recipe out of the cookbook, submit your choice. And the ones that get the most choice, you pick down, and then you tell the ingredients, and that's the dish you cook for that night.
Well, that could be the case, but if it takes more than an hour, it's not going to work out. It has to be something that's an hour.
I'm sure she could come up with a hit list of about, you know, 5 to 6 recipes that will take only an hour out of her book.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I think the way to go is to have her make suggestions, have her pick out 5, and then put the 5 to a vote. And then, you know, I think that would be the way to go, because then she can kind of tailor, she knows how long it takes. And yeah, so I'll ask her to do that. And then we'll put it out on the blog. We'll leave it at the top of the blog.
You know what would be really cool too, is if people could submit some photos in their kitchens of them cooking Felicia's meal. So as you're streaming, submit some photos to Good Morning Gloucester and we'll post those.
That'd be great. Yeah. Felicia, I think it's sisterfeliciaskitchen@gmail.com. If you want to buy one of her cookbooks, you can email her and request a cookbook, and she still has some for sale. So there's that. Yeah. What's that?
I have mine.
I know you do. I know you do. Oh my goodness.
I thought you were off the Coors Lights, Joe. I thought you swore Coors Light off.
I didn't swear them off. I did, however, say I was getting a little tired of them. But you have to understand, Scotty, it's 2:13 on a fucking Tuesday.
That's what you make do with, right?
I don't know. We're drinking like hardcore IPAs. I have like 5 of them. I'm like, yeah, this is a great podcast. I'm so thankful for all our friends and family for showing up.
This is my Tuesday at 2:30. I'm very jealous.
Well, you know, I don't have, I'll probably be in bed by 7 o'clock. Let's see. Felicia says many recipes only take minutes. Felicia says, let's make pesto and gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Felicia, hold on. I'm going to put this question up.
Is that like tomato tomato?
Why doesn't she just log on? She should just come on. If she still has the link, she could be part of this. I'm going to text her and see if she wants to come on. The question I have is, do you think that it's that pesto and gnocchi is for like a beginner could know how to make a gnocchi or have the physical skills? Let me see. I got to see if I can find her. Felicia.
There's an Italian restaurant that I go to in Jamaica called Sunrise Cafe. And he's got a wonderful gnocchi. That was written about in all of the travel magazines, and that's the place you go for this dish specifically. His name is Luca, and right from Italy, and opened up shop in Jamaica, and he's doing very well.
All right, here's Felicia. Let's see. I'm gonna text her. I'm gonna give her the link, and I'll see if she can figure this out. All right, Felicia, I texted you the link. Byron's still with us. Hi, Joe. I would love to see calzone recipe like the ones old Captain Leo, rest his soul, used to bring down to Captain Joe's back in the day. Oh, my God. Leo Shimotaro was a old timer that used to come down the dock every single day. He was like a third grandfather to us. And he would cook for us, and he would really, oh, there she is, driving. Felicia, turn your phone sideways before I bring you on. Turn your phone sideways. Turn your phone. There you go. There she is. Actually, you can go north and south. You can go north and south, Felicia. You can go that way. You can go that way. You can go north and south the way I have it. You can turn your phone, Felicia. You can turn your phone. Yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So why don't you explain what you want to do?
I guess what we're going to do is we're going to cook live. So we're going to make some easy, fast recipes that people can cook along with us. And I guess it's going to be hard for me because every recipe is easy. So I think, like, I can bang out recipes that some people might think are complicated. I can break it down really easy for people. So, like gnocchi I made last night. I made like 2.5 pounds of gnocchi in less than 15 to take to New York today.
You don't have to brag. You gotta make people feel inferior now, then they're not gonna want to participate. You gotta like.
No. I don't want to break it down and show them how easy it is.
Okay, so, I see where you're going with that.
I want to show them exactly how easy it is.
Okay. All right.
Because a lot of recipes people are intimidated by, and they really shouldn't be intimidated by them. That's what you said
about the pinolada. That's what you said about the pinolada.
Yeah, you saw me make the pinolada. It took me less than an hour.
But I think that you could make that with your eyes closed, or with a blindfold. I think you could make it.
Yeah, most things I can. there's so many fun things we can make.
What a value in a free cooking lesson from Sister Felicia. You can't understand the value in that alone.
Well, the first one's free. After that, it's going to be a pay-per-view.
Why wouldn't it be? We're not selling anything anymore, remember?
No.
I'm all done with those days.
Scotty already got lectured on that one. Scotty, did I give you hell the other day?
Well, you gave me hell, but I didn't say one way that she was selling it. You just said make sure you remind people that she's not selling it.
Right.
Yeah, I actually have those hot chocolate. We could do hot chocolate. A lot of people have been messaging me asking me how you make the hot chocolate bombs, so we could do that.
Oh, that's the one. Hot chocolate bombs. Hot chocolate bombs.
That's what we
talk about. A lot of people are asking that. Yeah.
You know what? New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
New Year's Eve. Listen to this one.
We had to let people know when we were going to do it because they have to have a mold.
But listen, if New Year's Eve, if we did chocolate bombs, then that would be an activity that you could do. If we told the people what they needed to get, then you could do it New Year's Eve, and you could drink chocolate bombs with booze in it.
Joey, I think I'm going to be doing Jaeger bombs instead of hot chocolate on New Year's Eve. Sorry.
Brenda Grimes Davis says definitely chocolate bombs.
My hot chocolate bombs were infused.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what we need to make.
Rumplements?
Breaking up, I can't hear you.
Rumplements, peppermint, what were they infused with?
Oh God, I had Bailey's in one. I have salted caramel. I made a whole salted caramel sauce, and then I got salted caramel and added that. I did a chocolate ganache with peppermint schnapps. I did, a rum chata. We did chocolate infused with rum chata. Oh, a Kahlua, one with Kahlua. We're going to get them tonight. We're on our way to Brooklyn, and I'm bringing them to BJ's apartment and have them tonight. So I'll let you guys know how they come.
You can be logic.
Hardly anybody's going out on New Year's Eve. So maybe New Year's Eve, that would be the move to make those. How long does it take to make them set up, though?
You want to make them a couple of days ahead, I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you definitely want to make them a couple of days ahead. Only because the way I make them, people, you can make them very simple. or you can alcohol, and when you infuse them with alcohol, it's a little bit complicated, but it's an extra step of making the ganache. And I feel like the ganache is better if you make it in time, because it hardens like in the refrigerator a little bit, and it's easier to put inside the hot chocolate.
Want to give a shout out to Wayne Moulton. He's saying good afternoon, gang. So good afternoon, Wayne.
And no, you got that wrong.
What?
His name is not Wayne Moulton. His name is Wayne the Mailman. He's known as Wayne the Mailman. We can't like. He's Wayne the Mailman.
Don't put me in the same category as Pat Delpy as screwing up the names now. I think I actually pronounced that properly. But Wayne the Mailman. Hey, Wayne the Mailman.
Amanda Armstrong has a question. She says, can we do a cooking class in person?
Huh?
I don't know about that.
USB thing. Yeah, I have to. My phone's going on. Can you hear me, Joe? I can't hear
you. Yeah, we can hear you. So don't say anything bad.
I don't know why I can't hear them.
We can hear you fully.
We get a little visual difficulty. We get audio too. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
They're probably going through. We can hear you fully.
I don't know.
I blame Brooklyn.
We can hear you. She must be in a rough area. Are you in a rough area, Philly?
I can't. Hey.
I see her. Scotty, see right up on the right hand side. See how you have four bars and she only has one bar?
I'm gonna wave good.
I have four bars.
Bye.
Right. You see Philly? Can you see Felicia on there?
No.
Oh, she's back now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Lynn Scannell says good morning from Hialeah. And Hawaii.
Yeah, Lynn Scannell. They've been on a tear, huh, Scotty? When did they leave?
Oh, geez. I think 2 weeks ago, maybe? A week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
They've been going cross country and living. Who wait, can if you could do it like any older person does it, would you not pick Phil and Lynn over anybody else?
Thurston and Lovey are the best people to be on tour.
I don't know anybody doing it like them. Scotty, I don't know anybody doing it like
them. Did you see the Grinch post for Christmas with the pajamas?
Yeah, I was wondering where it was gonna go though. I was a little concerned that it was early in the morning, it seemed like, and they had the full on pajamas.
Well, the Grinch is something grew two times that year.
December 5th, they left. That's a tour. That is, I am envious.
That's right. They left on my birthday. I do remember that.
Wow. So now they're in Hialeah. What island is that?
That's a good question right there. Maui, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I saw they visited Dollywood.
Yep.
At one point.
Vegas? Were they in Vegas?
They were at some sort of brothel at one point, too. They had posted pictures outside of a brothel.
They're in Oahu right now. What? Are they not coming back until there's no chance of snow? Is that the move?
That would be the move if I had any say about it for them. We want them back, but we want them back in the nice weather.
100%. 100%. Yeah. That's great.
Love those guys.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
And the sister's out there too. Susan's out there.
Whose sister? Well, they're coming back March 1st.
Oh, wow. You're just going to miss them.
We might pass him at the airport, Scotty.
That's quite possible.
Let me just see one thing here. I'm just going to go right here. One second.
So what are they? What are they? 6 hours or something behind, or?
They, it's got to be, right? Oh, yeah. So people wanted, okay, here's a question. We had Dr. Z on, the urologist. And
great time that night.
It was a great podcast. He was a great, Michael, he was a fantastic guest. So we haven't had a gynecologist on yet. So we need someone to nominate a gynecologist to come on with us to answer all the questions.
As I told Chris McCarthy, there's just some things a guy should not hear about.
Yeah, but there might be some helpful hints that we don't know about. That night.
All right, point taken.
Dr. Z, remember Dr. Z gave us some pointers that none of us knew about.
This is true. This is true.
Remember?
Now, anyway. Do you think that the female viewership will actually go up on that podcast, or would it plane out?
It depends on the gynecologist. It depends on how interesting they are.
Now, would you choose a male gynecologist or a female gynecologist to come on? That's the question. Maybe we have a male and a female gynecologist. I mean, the doctor is going to be like probably the same information, but it would be might be interesting to hear perspective from both.
I want to hear that. I definitely, hold on a second. I forgot about this. There's a new feature that we can embed the chat on the podcast. Watch this, Scotty. Watch what happens here. So now anybody that does a comment will be in the right-hand column there. Can you see that too?
I can see that, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But it doesn't bring up the prior messages. It just only from this point forward? Is it not bringing up Facebook messages though?
It'll bring up any of the if YouTube or Facebook messages. So if someone messages us right now, okay, we want to hear from a friend, a gynecologist, or a friend of a gynecologist. If you could type in right now. Oh, there you go. Testing. Brenda Grimes Davis, the first one. So Brenda Grimes Davis, apparently she knows a gynecologist we could bring on. What are you looking for, Scotty?
I don't know.
What are you? I'm trying to figure out what you're looking at.
No, I don't. All this stuff popped up on my screen, and I'm trying to get rid of it.
Oh. Do you think that's better, Brenda?
And it's from the restream, so I'm not really sure how to get rid of this. There it is. Okay.
So Brenda likes this format. She likes it where you can anybody that puts in a comment, it'll show up in the column there.
I think it's much better too. That way we can see the viewers who are chiming in, as well as having to do a roll call as well. I mean, other people will be able to see, but we can also point out certain comments.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, but it's delayed. She says, but it's delayed. Yeah, but
How fast is delayed?
Paula says it looks good. I think as long as you only have a couple of guests, it'd probably be good. But it definitely compresses the viewing area. So if we had six guests, they'd all look like little postage stamps.
Right. True.
You know, Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz were busy looking for Eagles today.
The football team or all the Eagles?
No, just Eagles. They're Eagle freak. Pat's an Eagle freak. I think Pat would leave. I think Pat would leave Jimmy for an Eagle.
What position did he play?
What do you think of this minimalistic set I got going on here? I just got the single plant. I think I like the whole. I like the very simple, laid back set.
If you were to lean back, it would look like you're a chia pet.
Oh, let me see if I can make this happen. I'm a punk rocker.
You get more hair now.
I'm a punk rocker. I like your background.
Yeah, that's from a disco party that I was fortunate enough to get in one of the three gigs I was able to play this past summer, outdoor gig. And it was totally different than any of the gigs I've done before, because I had to put a disclaimer out there that nobody could use the microphone. Nobody could come up to the table and ask for requests, which was actually kind of a blessing.
Oh yeah, I imagine.
Because now it just kind of left me to do what I do, you know.
Right.
Although I do have a software for DJ work that people can choose their music ahead of time. So
Ooh.
It has a music database. You can go in, you can click the songs, and you can rate them as you get must play. This next list is play if you have time.
Wow.
And then the next list is a do not playlist. So over the years, I've come to kind of zone in on how to tell my clients to operate that list, because they think they have to go through and rate every song in the database. And it tells you exactly how much time and how many songs you've requested. So if you request 150 songs and those songs are 3.5 minutes long, you're looking at your entire party's already planned for you, and doesn't leave much leeway for me to do my craft.
No wiggle room.
No wiggle room. And a lot of people have also done that for the do not list on the other end. Don't play this and don't play that and don't play this and X, Y, and Z. So then all of a sudden they tie my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some of the stuff that is going to work, and they're all over the map of do not play. Again, I get that they're paying me for that and whatever, but they're also hiring me because they know what I do.
Scotty, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know how we were talking about things to do on New Year's Eve?
Yes, sir.
So I looked at a bunch of different websites. One of the suggestions was to set up a phone booth, like, you know, photo booth.
Okay.
And just take crazy pictures. Do you still have that? Do you still have access to a photo booth? No? Was I dreaming that?
No, my DJ and business partner has that aspect of the company. I can reach out to him and see what the thing is. There's different levels of booths. I mean, starting from a very cost effective up to the top of the line, you know, so there's everything in between. And so what I would have to do is see what's been scheduled and what hasn't been scheduled, seeing that a lot of people are doing from home parties now.
Yeah.
And see if they're available, but I'll be more than welcome to check that out. And if anybody wants to check it out, they could go to www.360djs.net. That's 360djs.net. And you can look at all the photo booth options. That's a question.
Do you see Brenda Grimes Davis's question for you?
No, I cannot see that. Where is that?
Straight on the screen.
What's your most often asked do not play? So I can think of it right off the bat, the chicken dance. I mean, just people are so pigeonholed into, we don't want a DJ that plays the chicken dance. here's my question. I mean, my answer to them is, you don't look like the crowd that deserves the chicken dance. So no, but that's to answer your question, that's the number one is the chicken dance. If I can't remember the last time I played that. I think I played it as a spoof late night at the Old Timers Tavern during Fiesta back in the day as a spoof. And it actually, because they were all drinking and they were pretty well on their way, that was a huge hit still. But no, that's the number one, Brenda. Thanks for the question.
That's a great question. And what's your number one? So as a consummate, like, so you're providing a service and the customer's always right. So are there songs that people request that you just roll your eyes internally? Because I know you would never portray that to the person.
Well, within the industry, read a crowd. That's what you do. You read body language as a DJ. If the mood's right and the people are moving, you got them going, you're taking them on a journey. You're starting at, you know, at... And now, don't say this. I'm just going to use some examples here. And I read this in a DJ magazine that I had subscribed to. You could go anywhere from Frank Sinatra to Miley Cyrus to Metallica and back again, a good DJ can do that within the same hour and take people on a journey. And that's not necessarily what I do or I am capable of. Where most people say, we want 80s, we want 90s, and some throwbacks and a few of today. And that's generally the recipe. And they'll go throw a few in for the older people. I mean, that's more specific to weddings or to anniversary parties and things like that.
Yeah.
So being the ability to be able to read a crowd is what makes a good DJ and be able to execute that. Sometimes people say, hey, how was last night's party? And I'm like, I'm kind of down on myself because a lot of people didn't get up and dance. And I feel like I let them down. But at the end of the night, they came up and they give me a tip and they said, listen, that was perfect. That's exactly what we wanted. This family or this group is not a dancing group, but you rocked. And so I have to kind of take a step back sometimes and go, my job ultimately is to entertain and make you guys get up and dance. But then there's also those people that want just background or, you know, play the hits and then they'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Well, that's awesome. I think that we'll probably wrap it up right here, Scotty. Thanks for joining me today, buddy.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure. I was not doing anything due to COVID, which turned into a whole lot of something today. And you know, like impromptu with DJ Logic, and we had Sister Felicia on. We answered a bunch of questions. We get the viewers out there asking questions. I couldn't ask for a better way to spend my afternoon today. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Until next time, it's for Scotty Mack, DJ Logic, Sister Felicia. This is Joey Shimataro, and we hope you had a great time. Take care, buddy.
Ciao.